Galimera, galispera, whatever time you're watching, this is Mapa. I'm Stel. I've got a special guest with me, Jimmy Mwanga. How you doing, bro? You good?
I'm grand. Surviving. And yourself?
Yeah, all good. We were talking earlier about the weather, and now it seems to have got darker in Cyprus. So what's happening?
Yes, down, down, now the clouds. I think it's you. I think you're rubbing up on the live. I think that's what it is.
I've jinxed it. I'm sorry, man. But for those of you watching, I'm not sure who Jimmy is. Jimmy is the Almeria striker. He scored at the weekend in the club's 1-1 draw. They sit third in the table. And Jimmy is in his second spell in Cyprus. And we spoke about this before. We had a few technical problems, but I know you were born in South Africa. You moved to Ireland at a very young age. You spent some time at the Nike Academy at St. George's Park. Big experience for you. But in terms of your career progression since then, I know you went to the United States and then went to Cyprus. So just give us a brief overview of your time at the Academy, the Nike Academy, going to the United States, and then how your move to Cyprus came about.
Right, so I can actually give you how even the Nike Academy came about, to be honest. How would it start? I was like 16, I was in secondary school, and I was training. I decided now that football is what I want to do, So I was training on my own, but with the way football was in Ireland, I mean, it's better now, but the way it was in Ireland growing up, it's like there was not much, gateway for young players to get to the next level. So I didn't really know how I would do it. So just one odd night, a friend of mine, we were in a group chat with a group of our friends, and then he was in another group chat with they were doing higher maths or something. And I wasn't in the higher maths group chat, as you can tell. Maths was not my strong point. We're here now anyway. But look, yeah, he was in that group chat, and one of his friends were like, oh, there's a Nike trial coming up. And they were talking together, and then that one friend of mine, his name was Joel, and he said to us that, oh, this fella's going to this trial over in Piemont. And I'm like, what I said, my words exactly was, are he shy? How's he going there? Those are my words exactly. But keep it real, that's what I said. And then, are he shy? How's he going there? Then he was like, oh, I don't know. So I'm like, you know what? If he's going there, I can go there. Like, when's the next time Nike's going to come to Dublin? So I'm absolutely going there. So then, but I texted him asking about it. And you know what he was like? He was like, oh, no, there's no trial. And that way. So I had to work my way around it. So the next day I was like, all right, what am I going to do? So I was like, all right, you can sign up online. I went online and they were like, the sign up it's finished. And I was like, you know what? That doesn't matter. I'm still going there. So I was like, all right. How much money do I have? So I looked, I had exactly €2.50 in my drawer. And I'm like, all right, I have to make a good place called Piemont. So from Lucan to Piemont is kind of far out. And I was like, all right, that's only enough for me to go there, but not enough to come back. But you know what? This is what you do for your dream. So you're just going to go and see what it is. You know what I mean? Just a one way. So I was like, all right, I had to take two buses down there. So when I get there now, I'm like, all right, here I am. So I was like 16 at the time. And then they were like, I seen all the Nike vans and everything was all set up. We'd never seen anything like it, in Dublin at the time. So then I went up anyway, ready to sign up. And then they were like, well, how old are you? And I was like, oh, I'm 16. They were like, you need your parents to sign you up. And my parents were at work at the time. So then I rang my ma, but I was on 1%. So I was like, all right, if I ring my ma and she says I'm allowed to train, will you just let me train? They were like, all right, yeah, we'll do that. So I ring my ma then. As she answers, the phone dies. And then they're like, sorry, mate, you can't train. So I'm how am I going to do this? So I had to get creative now. So then there was a trial going on there because Nike were doing it throughout the day. They started at 7 a.m. and I think finished at 7 p.m. So there were about over 1,000 people coming to try out for the Nike Academy in Dublin. So then now I'm looking at the crowd now and I'm watching the trial going on and I'm trying to think. And then this is the one time where I have to commend the English that they've came through for the Irish. This is the one time I see this one fella anyway in the crowd. This black fella, I seen him and I go, do you know what? I could say he's my uncle and they would know. So I said, let me go and ask him, sure. I have nothing to lose. I have no bus fare to get back home anyway. So when there's a will, there's a way, So I went up to him and I go, mate, you know what? I didn't know he was English at the time, but then he told me he was from Manchester, came down with his son and all that. And I told him, look, I have this problem. I've come a long way. And, I told him my story. And he goes, no problem, mate. Let's go. I'll tell him I'm your uncle. I said, really? He goes, yeah, sound. Went up. And then I said, yeah, my uncle's come all the way. And then they were like, yeah, no problem. So he signs the consent form and all, and he just tells me, don't fucking get injured. And all that. I said, yeah, no, I won't. So then they give me the Nike gear and all that. And then, yeah, went in and I trained. And then they liked me and they were like, can you stay for the 5 p.m. session? And I was like, another session? I was like, yeah, I have no bus fare back home. So sure, why not? I have nowhere to go. So I'm like, all right, stayed and I trained again. Then they asked me to stay for another session again. So they must have really liked me. So I'm like, all right, I'll stay. And now in that last session, I'd seen someone who actually lived in my area. So that's how I got home that day, because someone who lived in my area was coming for the 7 p.m. trial. So then he took me home that way. And then anyway, after doing the 3 sessions with them, then a few days later, I get a call. What's up? It's Matt from Nike. And I'm there buzzing like, what the fuck? You know, that kind of way. And they're like, we have a second trial now that's happening at the Etihad, like where Man City train. And they were like, so now that's where it's going to be people from Manchester, London, and the people from the Dublin trial. So all together now to, you know, to train for a week at the Etihad. So we were staying at the Etihad, the accommodation, and then you train for a week. And then they pick, so 40 people, they pick 6 people then to go to Paris, to Clairefontaine. That's where the French national team trained.
Yep, and that's then right.
You go over there and now you're, now what we've done in Dublin and then what they've done in Manchester, they've done that in Brazil, in Berlin, in everywhere around the world. All the best young players they taught now come together in Clairefontaine, and then we all train now to be part of the Nike Academy. So anyway, I get to Manchester, I get to Manchester Airport now, and then I'm expecting to see, you know, because there was 1,000 people, so I'm expecting to see, you know, at least 10 or 15 Irish. And I seen Matt from Nike, who was on the phone, so I tell him, well, where's the rest of them? Do we have to wait for them? I was like, are they at the Etihad already? He goes, no, mate, you're the only one they picked. I'm like, fuck off.
Okay.
Out of 1,000 or something people, he was like, yeah, you were the only one they picked. And I was sure, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, do you know what I mean? I was like, we end up anyway driving to the Etihad, and it was my first time there. And then, yeah, we got there, and I end up actually staying in the accommodation that, like, was for Joe Hart at the time, if he was staying at the stadium. So everyone was staying in their room. It was unreal. So we had to then stay. We stayed there for a week, and you can only imagine what the facilities were like. And I was the only Irish person there, and everyone else was either from Manchester or from London, because they'd done the separate trials. And then, yeah, done the training for a week, stayed there. And then at the end, I was the last one to get called. And then, yeah, they picked 6 people to go represent Team Great Britain and Ireland, because I was there, and then to go to Paris then in like a few months. So then, yeah, after a couple of months, then went to Paris. And then now I'd only grown up playing football in Ireland, obviously. Then the only other football I'd ever played outside of Ireland was in Manchester that time. So now coming to Paris now, seeing all these young players from, you know, everywhere in the world, I was like, you know what? I'm out of my depth here. I've never seen the likes of it. I've only seen this on telly. Some of the touches they were making, they were unreal. But then I said to myself, do you know what? These people are probably, they've probably been in academies and stuff like that, you know, in the countries they are. You know, Ireland, you know, it's not like compared to like a Brazil or like Germany or something. It's not like that, you know, the system in terms of football. So I was like, you know what? They might be, you know, more trained than me in that way, because I'd only ever done individual sessions. But the one thing they won't do is work harder than me. I have that over everyone here. That's what I said to myself. So I was only 16, 17 saying this. So then I was like, all right. So we stayed there for a week, and I was just working me bollocks off. Not going to lie. I was just, you know, it was do or die for me. I was doing everything. I was like, this could be my last chance ever. It's either this to go back to Dublin, and I don't know what's next. School wasn't my strong suit. So it was do or die. So, yeah, for a week, I was just working, you know, really working. You know, and then, yeah, we played a match at the end of the week. And then out of, there was like, I think 60 people there or something. They picked 12, but then my name didn't get called out, unfortunately. So I was like, you know what? I wasn't even disappointed, because I was like, I gave everything. I was back to Dublin Airport. I was in bits. I was limping, you know what I mean? So I was like, I gave everything. So for me, you know, it is what it is. It's not meant to be. But then after a month then, you know, my dad, I was just training normally, you know, obviously I didn't have school or anything. I didn't do well in secondary school. And then my dad just called me one day and he was like, Jimmy, what are you doing? I see you're still training. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a professional. That's what I'm going to be. And he was like, but how? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to be it, you know? So I just kept training. And then one day he just called me and he goes, I have something to read out for you. Then he read, congratulations, you've just signed for the Nike Academy. And I was just, yeah. Then from then, that was the summer, I think, of 2016, I think, or 17. Then, yeah, from there, I had to literally, because I think one player got signed to, oh, I can't remember the French team. He was a French fella. He was a striker at the time. He was class. And he played so well in the trial, and they signed him straight away from the trial. So that means there was, I was the 13th player out of 12 that they caught. So it was between me and someone, and then he got the nod. But then one fella signed, so but they needed 12, and they were like, who was the next guy we thought? And then they picked me, and then, yeah, went into the Nike Academy, and then, yeah, was again there, was blown away by the level of the talent. And, you know, it was a professional training. It was the first time I'd been in it, so I had to adjust and stuff. So it was a bit difficult for me at the start, but I worked my way in, and then, yeah, December came, and then they were like, look, this thing is going to fold over in a few months. So if you stay, and then at the end, you know, you don't have a place to go after, you know, we're kind of trying to help you out. At the time, I didn't understand it, and I kind of took it as a way of me getting kicked out. So I was like in tears and all. I was like, you know, I worked so hard for this. So I didn't understand it, but they were looking out for my best interest, which worked out in the end, as you can see. So then, yeah, after then, there was a college, Eastern Florida State College. They knew one of the trainers, you know, I think one of the trainers played for West Ham Youth or something, and he was the same coach at Florida or something. Like, they knew each other some way anyway, and they'd watch my videos, and then, because, you know, the Nike Academy, they were doing highlight videos for us as well, and then they were like, yeah, we like this Jimmy fella, and yeah, we want to bring him in. So they gave me a full scholarship, like, you know, off the rip, full scholarship and everything. And then, yeah, I moved my life over to America, and then, yeah, I was there, was at Eastern Florida State College for 2 years. Then after 2 years, I graduated from there, and then that was a junior college. So because my grades were not good in secondary school, so I had to go to junior college, get them up, and then go to a university after then. So then I went to Lewis University, which was just outside Chicago in Romeoville, in Illinois. And yeah, spent 3 years there. And then after that, the 3 years I graduated then in, I think it was 2021, December. Then after then, yeah, looking to kind of go on to the professional game, because, you know, in America, the way it is, it's not really set up for internationals to win in a way, because you need then a green card and all these other things, you know, after you graduate to be able to play and earn money. So there was a lot of difficulty. So for me, after graduating, I was like, look, I'm not going to stick around for this. You know, time is of the essence here. So I have to just bounce and get back to Europe, kind of. That's how I was. So I literally left after I graduated. I didn't even do a graduation ceremony. I just got the credits.
You're not playing, I'm getting out of here.
I was out there, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so then after then I went to Greece, and then I was kind of, you know, looking for teams to train with. And then I met this one, I went to a cafe one day. I went to a cafe after the gym, and then this one fella came up to me and was like, what sport do you play? And I was like, oh, I play football. Then he goes, do you play for fun or seriously? I guess he was looking at me physique, and he was like, this fella's in some shape. And he was like, what's this fella eating? So I was like, yeah, I'm a footballer. And I was like, do you play it seriously? I was like, yeah, I play it seriously. And then he was like, oh, I know this one guy I went to college with, and he's an agent. And I was like, are you messing with me now? Because this has just come out of nowhere. He goes, no. He goes back, gets his phone, and then he gives me the number. Then he goes, send your highlight and your CV to this number. Send it to him. Then the fellow was like, oh, I like you and all that. We should meet up for a coffee. So I went to meet for a coffee. I was in Greece at the time. And I went to meet for him for a coffee. And then he was like, oh, he's an agent and stuff like that. And then he was like, look, I'm going to try to find you a club. So then I went on trial with the team, a couple of teams in Greece and stuff like that. But then there was a situation with, like, oh, this club doesn't pay and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, if I'm going to be living in another country, like, I can't have that. Come to find out, I went through two of those experiences, which we'll find out later on. But I was like, look, I can't have that. And then so I was like, nah, that won't work. And then out of nowhere, he was like, oh, there's a club in Cyprus. They're looking for a striker. And, you know, I know the president and this is that. So you go in for a trial in 2 days. So I was like, all right. So then Thursday came. It was like Thursday. Literally flew to, yeah, Larnaca, and then went to Olympia. And then, yeah, doing a trial for 6 days. And then I got signed, you know. So that's my journey, literally. That's how I got to... Long story, but you know, we got here.
No. It's incredible because you're still young. That's the thing. You're still young, and you know, to go through this, all of this, at the age that you're at, a lot of footballers wouldn't have experienced it. And you do have a lot of players who are perhaps, you know, their late 20s, and they're getting their first move abroad, and they don't know what to expect. But when you went to Cyprus originally, I'm sure you were aware of the culture similar to Greece, but was there anything that stood out for you in terms of not only the quality of life, but also the style of football? Because you was in the Nike Academy playing against some fantastic players. You're in the United States where the level is going to be higher and more competitive, and there's more emphasis on the athletic side of football. So what did you think about Cyprus when you first touched pitch?
I mean, When I first came down, you know, that was the thing. Like, the level of football was completely different than anything I played before. Because, I mean, the Nike Academy happened when I was 16, 17. Then after that, I spent 5 years in America. Now, in America, you know, people have this notion that America, oh, it's going to be easy, you get there. But you have people just like you. There's a lot of internationals and stuff like that. So they think, oh, you're going to get in there and play against 100 Americans who don't have a clue. But the Americans are good football players, you know, they are. And you're playing with also other internationals who come from good backgrounds as well. So it's a good level. But one thing I will say about the training in America, like you said before, it's more emphasized on the physical aspect of the game. Like, my physicality, if you see a picture of me from 2017 to like the end of 2021, I'm a completely different man because, you know, the emphasis on the gym and stuff like that, and the nutrition and everything, is they're so focused on that. More than the technical side of football, I'd say. So it's about 60-40 in favor of, you know, physicality in that way. So I think there was 5 years where I missed out on, you know, the technical development that a player kind of needs. So coming into Olympia, then you have all these players who I thought at the time, you know, amazing players who had, you know, good background and just great technical abilities, like, you know, that I'd really never played, you know, in the 5 years in America, I'd never seen players of such, you know, so I had to take time to get used to kind of the level and stuff like that, which, you know, I'm always up for a challenge, but that was one thing I noticed when I first came, that, you know what, this is different gravy over here, like, they're zipping in the passes, you're, you know, one touch, two touch and all that, you know, we didn't do that in America, so it was definitely different in that way.
For sure. Now, you're at your second spell in Cyprus. You've started the season pretty well, in all fairness. I know you guys are currently, what, third in the table? One point off top spot. So what can you tell us about Ormidia? Because I co-host a radio show on British Forces Radio. And Ormidia are one of the local clubs to the British bases. But I don't think there is much exposure. We know about Ethnikos Akhna. We know about Abea Agrodiri. But what about Ormidia? What can you tell us about the club?
I mean, for me, Ormidia is like a second home for me right now. You know, I love the place. Everyone is just, they're just so great over here. Like, since I came in, because the start of the year, because you said I had my second spell at, this is my second spell in Cyprus, but I was in Austria after leaving Olympia. So I signed in Austria. Just as I'd done a half season in Cyprus, then, you know, went to Austria after. But then I got injured at the start of the year. So just tell you the backstory of that. I got injured at the start of the year in January. So I'd done 6 months in Austria, came back home for the Christmas. And I was like, look, just going to go and do training at this team called Athlone. Just going to go train and see what the level's like. It's been a few years. I haven't played in Ireland, just to see what it's like. Maybe something for the future. You know what I mean? So I went in there. First training session, ruptured my Achilles. You know what I mean? That's football. You know what I mean? That happens. So... yeah, I got injured, and then after then, you know, I mean, 2 days I was back in the gym on one leg. That's what I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm mad like that. But for me, I was like, it was unexpected. No one tackled me or anything. It just happened, you know, just snapped. And then, yeah, so 6 months to 8 months I would have been out. I didn't really have a club, and, you know, obviously you're injured and stuff like that. So I cancelled the contract with my club. And then, yeah, it was kind of like in a place of, you didn't know where you were going, but you know, since the beginning, I've always had that mentality that I'll be somewhere, you know what I mean, as long as I do the right thing. So I just kept training, you know, even with what I could do. I had one leg, but I was like, look, I still have two arms and a chest and a back that needs working out, you know. So that was me. I was just working through it. And then once I was able to walk then in March, then I was like, you know what, I can see myself being back by the summer. So then I kind of started doing that. Then I started seeing the physio, he's the physio for the Irish national team. So seeing him frequently. And then, yeah, so I was getting better and better and doing stuff on my own as well. Just every day working on the strength, because I'd lost a lot of strength in my leg, you know, of course, and the calf and everything. So, yeah, I had to work my way back up. And then I think my agent then was working with, you know, where I could find, you know, place clubs I could find and things like that. And he went to Cyprus then, you know, I think he was on holiday, but also for work as well. And then he was kind of talking to, you know, Oya Napa, because I played against all these teams in the second division before. So, and seeing what was possible for me. But then Ormedia then, no, the old coach for Oya Napa, Spiros, he wanted me to go to Oya Napa, but then I ended up going to Austria instead, you know. But I would have gone to Oya Napa FC, but then I went to Austria, you know, instead. But then he still was interested in me. So then he was like, oh, I know the president then in Armenia, it's a good place for Jimmy to come back. And, you know, since he's been injured, and to, you know, build his level back up and also his fitness and stuff. And then, yeah, so then they, you know, took me in straight away. They'd never even seen me play before, but they just kind of had the belief. They watched me videos and stuff, but they never seen me in real life play. And then watched me
the
videos.
The recommendation must have helped though, surely.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, 100%. Yeah. And I also played against the president's son as well. He played for Omonia 29 in the second division.
Oh, right, okay.
His son was, I think, the left back, so I was playing up front. I played against him as well, so he knew me that way. So,
right.
Yeah, but the president himself had never seen me, so he was kind of investing in a guy he'd never seen before. He was blindly, you know, believing in me, you know, which a lot of clubs wouldn't ever really do. They'd never take that kind of chance. But, you know, he really, to this day, he always tells me every day, like, I believe in you, Jimmy, I believe in you, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so then they just, you know, offered, they gave my agent, they made an offer, and then, you know, it made sense. And then June I came in, and then they sorted out like my extra physio to do for me. So I came in a month earlier than pre-season. So most clubs are not doing that, you know what I mean? And Ormedia, they really, really looked after me in that way, that I came in at the end of June, and pre-season started first week of August. So I was doing physio every single week to get back and stuff like that. So they were looking after me. So yeah, they're just, honestly, really, they're just amazing people down here, you know, from the club and just the people in the village, just genuinely. I love it here, to be honest. I can't lie.
Well, you do hear a lot of nightmare stories about Cyprus, be it, you know, I'm sure you've been keeping tabs with a lot of things that go on. You've got the referees' cars being bombed, you've got match fixing, you've got all sorts of stuff happening. And as a footballer that doesn't speak the language, I'm assuming you don't speak the language, at least not fluently. I'm guessing you don't read the papers or anything. So you're not privy to what's happening in Cyprus. So you're kind of like an alien in that respect, where you're just focusing on your own game. So when I hear the positive stuff, like, you know, a third division team looking after their players, for me, knowing the environment, it is a big deal, because it's a rarity, you know. So this season, you guys said you guys have started really well. You're third in the table.
Undefeated as well. We're undefeated still.
Unbeaten, yeah. I think Omonia and Nicosia are the only unbeaten team in the first division, you know.
Yeah,
so really, you guys are kind of leveling up there. But in terms of the ambitions for this season, is the target promotion, or is it, well, you know, there are other teams that are in and around, because that third division is grueling, bro. It's competitive.
Yeah, it's dog eat dog over here. I'm not going to lie. Every game is a cup final for us. Every game. But yeah, for us, to answer your question, I mean, promotion, that's what we're playing for, really. You know what I mean? And especially within the first five games, seeing what we can do. We beat teams like Spartacus. You know, they were the favourites to go up. And, you know, we beat them, you know, quite comfortably, if I'm being honest. So we have an amazing squad, you know what I mean? Every player from the start, you know, to even the players on the bench, we have a great team, and we have a great, everyone is going in the same direction, which is the most important. And a lot of teams struggle to have that kind of environment where everyone is going in the same direction. The coach, he's, you know, Angelos Misos, he's made it in a way where you know, everyone is dialed in, you know what I mean? Since preseason, he's just, you know, he's been preaching that we're a team, we're a team, we're a team. And, you know, now that the season started, everyone is just, you know, in the same direction. So that's why when you come to play us, it's a difficult game because you're playing against more than just the 11 that are on the pitch. You're also playing against the bench. You're also playing against, you know, the fans that come to see us as well. So, you know, our media home is a tough game this season. Let's put it that way. So, yeah. So, you know, for us, we're going in a good way. And, you know, I looked at promotion, what it looks like. I mean, well, to stand it for, because you know how the third division works. There's the, you know, after Christmas, then there's the divided into the first half.
Splits,
so, yeah. So what I was looking at, it looks like the teams that make it, you have to get at least 20 points anyway. So right now we're at 11. So that's about 9 points away. So roughly, you know what I mean? So it's like, we're going in a good way. And I think promotion is definitely in the sights anyway.
Well, look, you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself and your teammates, but it is a realistic option. I think there are other good teams in that league, especially, you know, Abea being one of them. I know they've had an indifferent season, but they got a good win at the weekend. Mm-hmm. And Derinha, obviously, top of the league. Yaroskibo are there or thereabouts. So, obviously, you're going to want the club to do well for, you know, the fans, everyone in and around the club. But for yourself, especially, having come to Cyprus, it's your second by the cherry, so to speak. You know, you come back from a pretty big injury as well. You seem to have hit some form. And also, I've noticed that you've got a bit of a social media presence being built here because you do a lot of video diaries, especially on TikTok, about Cyprus. Have you had much feedback from people outside of Cyprus, like your friends, about the island? Because I know various players that have played in Cyprus personally that from the UK, like Matt Derbyshire, Killian Sheridan from Ireland, as you know. So, you know, they love the island. Jason Punchin, a friend of mine, is a head coach of Bayer. Have your friends asked you about Cyprus, like especially your mates that are playing football at the moment?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, even where I was in Austria as well, like there's a few players that I play, a few teammates and stuff like that. Like my agent, he's from Austria. So he's now trying to, I'm the only player that he has in his, you know, agency that's in Cyprus now. So now he's trying to, when he's looking at, you know, how things are now, he's actually trying to work in a way where he can bring a few players from Austria and bring them over here and have, like, I don't know, like, you know, friendly matches with the other Cypriot teams and to bring them in, you know, kind of like a Nike Academy kind of situation, but, you know, obviously at a less level, but you know what I mean? That's what he's trying to do now. So, yeah, you know, people obviously, it's definitely a good place to come, 100%. Like you were saying, there's bad everywhere, you know what I mean? Everywhere has their bad stories, but, you know, if you want to focus on the good sides of Cyprus, I'd say it's definitely a place where they give people a chance, you know what I mean? There you have a fair chance to come in and to, you know, if you're coming from an injury like myself, to build back up, you know what I mean? So I'd definitely say it's a place where, you know, that people should come 100%.
Brilliant. And just one more question about your social media. What's the target? Is that just, you know, for you to have a bit of fun with, you know, your video diary, everything like that? Or is there something more down the line?
No, I'll just be having the crack with that, man. I don't want to have, I mean, not like, I mean, I wouldn't mind a million followers, but sure, look, it's not like, so I was really just bored. Like I said, I came here a month before, so there was no training with the teams or anything. So I was, you know, on my own. I'm used to being on my own. You know, I've been away from my family home since like 16, 17. So I'm used to it, yeah. But now I was just kind of like, sure, look, you know what I mean? Why not? Like, you know what I mean? Why not make like these TikTok and all that? Like, just see what it's like. And in fairness, like, I've actually met some very good people on there as well who tell me about Cyprus and things like that, you know, because all my following is like, I only have like about 500 followers on TikTok. It's not much, but all of them are Cypriot. So they are like, sometimes I'll get messages from people who, you know, even some younger lads as well who are playing football who need advice and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a small thing. It's not like a publicity kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's more just, there's kind of like it's like a good message behind it. You know what I mean? Like, for example, there's one young lad who played for, can't remember the team, Olympiacos, I think. He played for the academy there and he was asking me advice and things like that. And, you know, things like that. So that's kind of what I do it for. I don't do it for, like, you know, any other
reason. Of course, but I think it's good that you're diarizing everything, because not only do you get to go back and check your progress, but there are going to be people out there that have got a, I don't know, the wrong perception about Cypriot football, because you do hear a lot of nightmare stories. But for someone such as yourself to be out there effectively starting from scratch, because that's what you're doing, really. You're building your reputation up there. You're building your development, everything like that. And they're probably seeing what you're doing and thinking, okay, well, it's not as bad as what people think it is. And I can survive, because let's get it right. English is a second language in Cyprus anyway. So, you know, obviously once you get used to the whole cultural difference and how, you know, how they work out there with the driving and just little things here and there, you could probably get away with in Cyprus, but not in the UK. But you know, this is how it is. So I'm, like I said, I'm intrigued to see how far you're going to go. And I really hope things work out for you, man, because, you know, you're passionate about the game. You're still young. You're still learning. And you've got a love for the island as well. So good luck to you, man.
Exactly. Yeah, like for me, if that can be like a gateway for people to look and see what Cyprus, even get a good idea about it, that it's not just all bad stories, you know what I mean? Because I guess, look, if you could put every country under the radar and say, and only show the bad parts, sure, you wouldn't go anywhere. You'd probably move to space or something, you know what I mean?
But of course.
Cyprus, I think if I can, if my page or Atom can show the good sides of it and how people are and stuff like that, then, you know, then that's, I'd like that anyway, if that's the case. But anyway, for me, it's a great place anyway. I'm having a good time. I haven't a bad word to say about Cyprus or media, really. Like, I love it here. I'd recommend anyone to come here.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, boys and girls, that was Jimmy. Check him out. All of his social medias are in the description below. Don't forget to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram @ThisIsMapai. And we'll be back very, very soon.